You're listening to the MLS Fantasy Insider, bringing you weekly tips, tricks, and advice for the official MLS fantasy game. Hello and welcome to the MLS Fantasy Insider, our preview of round 7 of the 2024 MLS fantasy season. This episode is brought to you by the Colorado Rapids, because we don't get to say good things about you all often as we would like. No, actually brought to you by the amazing MLS Fantasy Insider Patreon community. It's because of you that we are able to keep this project going. If you are interested in learning more about how you can contribute to our Patreon to help keep this podcast going and all of our projects, head over to patreon.com/MLSFI. I'm your host, Reed Connolly from MLSFantasyBoss.com. And tonight I'm joined by my partners in fantasy, Ashley Savage. I'd also like to welcome our special guest, Christian Ward, a very familiar voice, and one of our top Discord players and admin extraordinaire. How are you all doing tonight?
I'm great. Happy to be here.
Yes.
Practically speechless. Speechless is what you are. Hello, everyone in chat. Thanks for being here as well. We were a little worried about when you were going to arrive, Ashley. I know you said you might be late tonight because the suspicion was that you and Christian had a head-to-head this week and didn't want to own up to that result. We'll definitely get to it. First, just some early announcements that I do want to make. There were some questions going on Twitter this afternoon, specifically about players who would be added into the game. Specifically about some of the new additions. Abada down in Charlotte specifically when he would be into the game, and have confirmation from Skylar that missing players like him will be added before the round 7 selection is over. So he said the next batch of missing players. So I don't know who else we might be tracking. I wasn't tracking anybody else, but at least Abada will be available for round 7. So if that's a player you're looking for, he will be there. So just a quick little update right there before we get started into our recaps. So better round, I think, for some of us. Still an interesting round. So I look forward to hearing some of the recaps that you all have. If you are in chat with us right now, please do share your scores and let's see how you did. But Christian, start us off.
Excuse me. I had 97 points. Not great, not terrible. I think if you scored anywhere between, 90 or probably 85 or better, you probably did pretty well this week. Anyway, I had 97 points. I moved up one spot to overall rank 6. 11 points back from overall rank 1. And my team value is $126.1 million. I made some tactical mistakes this week. And mainly those mistakes were from a place of panic and indecision. And I'm bringing that up not to brag, but to just, pass on the cautionary tale. Always have a plan in place. What really triggered me this week was when Clark conceded, and I was too busy doing other stuff before the 8:30 RSL lock happened. And I literally threw McMath in there in a panic as a fallback keeper, which was idiotic. I shouldn't have done it. I did it with like literally 10 seconds left before it locked. I'm like, click, click, click. And yay, he got me 2 points. That's not something you want to do in this game. But anyway, players who impressed me. Just going to go down a list of players. If you've watched these games this week, I would watch Jordy Mihailovic from Colorado. He actually got the top score in fantasy this week. I think, didn't he? Or was that Chicho?
No, it's Chicho.
It was Chicho. Police last week. Let's see. It was, he got the second highest at 18. Chicho had 19. But he had been ice cold, and then all of a sudden, whammo, 18 points, and he plays for Colorado, which makes it even more astonishing. Ryan Gauld, he turned on. Somebody flipped his switch this week. White being out probably helped him a lot, because a lot of the plays play just focused right through him. Saba Labjanica, he was pretty impressive. I didn't see him put a foot wrong really this week, against Chicago. He was really impressive. Him and Brooks Lennon are really formidable, at least at home they are. And Edward Atuesta brought it for the second week in a
Heck
row,
yeah.
and I am really stoked about that because I don't know about you guys, but I've really been thirsty for like an actual viable midfielder from LAFC for fantasy. Like, so yeah, he's in my team, by the way, and he's totally gonna fail now that he's in my team. Anyway, honorable mention, the previous viable LA FC mid, Timothy Tillman, he's better than you think. He's better than he was last year. He actually has a floor, and he'll get you the odd assist or goal. So he's not a bad pick. Gabriel Peck finally scored or assisted or did something. He got a nine. And last but not least, Jabril Diagne for Charlotte actually is turning out to be a guy that everybody's going to absolutely love. Not necessarily for fantasy, but you could tell he's young. He's like 6'7" or something, like a basketball player. Like he took the penalty kick for Charlotte and he knocked it in the back of the net and the team just swarmed him and hugged him and just it was above and beyond. It was like the cutest thing I've ever seen in soccer. Anyway, I think he's like 18 or something like that too. I can't remember. He looks 18 anyway. So I'll try to make this as short and concise as I can. Thoughts on the week. A lot of chalk players underperformed again, mainly some big name players like Lucho and Ricky Pooj. But others that we don't normally expect or that we normally expect to do well, who've been underperforming, like Jordy or Gauld or Atuesta, they all turned on this week, which is really good. So I guess the lesson is, rigid thinking and narratives going into a game week can land you into trouble. So I think it's best to just kind of check yourself. If you're like absolutely certain something's going to happen, don't be absolutely certain something's going to happen or not happen. Just make sure you're backing that up with some reasonable logic. And group and make sure that reasonable logic isn't groupthink. And if you haven't figured it out by now, a forward should be your first consideration for the armband. This is my opinion. I'm sure Ashley's going to like have kittens, but I have landed on that conclusion, and that's what I'll be doing going forward. A word about defenders. No need to spend. I don't think there's a need to spend up for defenders if you don't have to. Like Brooks Lennon at home, yes, spend up for Brooks Lennon. But there's only three or four defenders that I would actually pay up for at this point. There is nobody's earning bonus points really. There's only 14 defenders in the game who consistently earn two or more bonus points. And that's when they're playing at home. I don't think there are any who consistently earn two or more bonus points across the board. So when your budget is becoming less and less of a consideration now, especially for Ashley, because she's just, she's a boss. She's a budget boss. But I really believe that the pricing for these midfielders and these especially these premium forwards like Messi, Suarez, they are going to be priced out no matter how much your team value you have. So you want to be able to the name of the game is to be able to pivot into some of these better players if you see a mismatch or a good matchup for these players in the moment when lineups drop. So what I'm saying is, don't have to pay for more than Nuhu at 5.8, for example, this week. You know, he's perfectly viable, just as viable as Alex Roldan is at 6.3 for that clean sheet. So that's pretty much the advice I have for you guys. There are some of the guys put together a couple of like tables and stuff that I want to share, but I'll share it in Discord. So just ping me if you want to see them, but I'll probably post them and give credit to those guys who did it in Discord in the general channel.
What kind of tables are they for those listening?
They back up basically what I was just saying, mainly about the defender bonus points list of players who have gotten two or more bonus points consistently at home. It'd be mean of me not to share who those are.
Absolutely.
And there's another one that Wojo put together that shows a comparison, side-by-side comparison between forwards and midfielders for bonus points, you know, like all their score breakdowns side by side, that basically proves, yeah, forwards are just as viable as midfielders, are earning just as many points, and they have an infinitely bigger upside, higher ceiling. So if you're not capping a forward, you know, with these rules, then you probably need to really consider doing so.
Great stuff. Ashley.
I mean, you know, here we are. I just want to apologize to everyone who either listens to the podcast or talks to me, because I'm the reason that Jovalich didn't start. It went down as illness, but I think we all know that my soapbox left a good amount of people stranded when that LA Galaxy game kicked off. So I just want to start now by promising that no matter how passionately I feel about a acknowledged trend, I will stay off my soapbox for the betterment of everyone. Because that one really got me. I did lose to Christian in head-to-head. He was my only loss this week, and I will take it. I had an 89, but I didn't have Chicho. So I did not feel strongly about Chicho or Benteke going into this week. And I know he was both of them were very widely talked about. It was a bench play for me. I was running two scrubs, a five in the back. And for me, it was, I guess to say a lock isn't completely fair, but it was Jovalich and Gigi, and that was who I was locked on. So I went with Benteke because it was earlier and obviously really regretted that. And then panic pivoted when Jovalich wasn't starting to, I literally, this is going to be a really great image. I'm walking up the stairs with my son and husband to Monster Jam saying, do I go Peck or Rodriguez? Peck or Rodriguez, to my husband. Well, my son's like, what are you talking about? All of us have headphones on because it's really loud. And I chose Rodriguez and my husband went Peck. Obviously, Peck scores in like 3 minutes. So just really sums up my week, that example right there. But still, somehow, I was still stayed around the 20s in overall ranking. I'm overall ranked 29 right now. So I made Champions League, which was really the only thing I was going to be incredibly pissed off about, right? Was if I didn't make Champions League the first week. This has been an uncharacteristically good start for me. I usually end around here, but I don't start here, so I'm trying to keep that going. Like Christian said, I am just a money bags. My total value is at 130.8 right now.
Oh my.
Yeah. So, and again, I know I sound like a real bragger every time I say this. But like, I'm not playing for price rise. I just won't pick someone if they're on a downfall. I'm kind of over it now. I didn't think about it as much last week. But like, that was my strategy. Reed and I talked about this a lot. That was my strategy this year, was I wasn't trying to like hunt and peck for players that were price rising. I mean, I rode that Charlotte defender train for a long time, like everybody else, but I just wouldn't pick someone up if they were on a price fall. That was kind of my shtick, and it's just worked out well for me. So
What's your
player
total again?
130 point.
130.8. That is like 6.1 million more than I have.
The midfielder more than you.
Pretty much. Or defender, the way I'm playing it.
Sure, yeah. Good point. Some players that impressed me. It's painful for me to say this, and I didn't even like putting him on my list, but Evander really impressed me this week because he'd been posting up sevens without any goal contributions and finally had some goal contributions. So that was good to see. His goal was a banger as well. Goal, assist, bonus points. He's really kind of hitting a stride that is great for fantasy, just frustrating for me. Christian referenced it a little bit. Brooks Lennon looking like the Brooks Lennon we all like to see with the goal contributions, the bonus points, the shutout. I agree with what Christian said that, you know, these more expensive defenders, there's a thought process as we go through the season that I'm just going to pick up the player with the most points, total points, or that costs the most money because maybe that should mean that they're the best. And I do not agree with that at this point in time, and honestly, most of the time. So I do agree, you know, players like Brooks, it should be situational. Brooks Lennon at home is on my team every week. He might not be situational for me until the hot hand dies out, but he definitely impressed me again this week. And then I'll just echo what Christian said about Atuesta. It's really nice to see him kind of forming back into the player we knew before he left MLS. And also Ryan Gauld's maybe I don't won't take one game as an adequate sample size, but hopefully returning to the form that we know as well. And then yeah, my only thoughts were just, you know, apologies to the greater Jovalich community of people who I wronged I stand by the soapbox. Like I still agree with all the things that were said, but by saying them, I ruined it for everybody. So my apologies.
I mean, it's all good because like Christian mentioned that he fell victim to some last minute adjustments. Ashley helped me not make some last minute adjustments, and I was like, ah, I'm thinking about this, and she was like, I mean, I wouldn't do that, but I mean, go with your gut. And I'm like, no, I need to stop. So that's the power, as I said in chat, that everyone needs to tap into their MLS Fantasy Boss Discord soccer support group, fantasy soccer support group, and if you're having those urges, come in and talk them out, because oftentimes it's just from a place of fear, and that's not where we want to react from.
I turn to Reed when I'm trying to get talked down because I feel like Reed is a good level head with me. The last person I should ask is my husband because that guy just throws shit at the wall like you wouldn't believe. And then yeah, the Discord as well is such a great place for feedback and, you know, talking you out of it sometimes, right, Reed?
That's right.
Yep.
That is right. All right. Well, you guys covered a lot of what I already kind of had on my list. So just a short few other players that I'm just going to throw out there who had some good scores this week. Drewsy came back with a strong score with his first full 90 points, 10 points. However, I am not sure how consistent that's going to be. That's the concern I have. I know I've seen him pop up in some teams this week. I'm sure we'll talk more about that later. Gazdag, some two consistent games from him, even though there was a DNP in between those two, but some consistency from Gazdag, which is what people would like to see. I regretted seeing it because he was one of the ones I did not go with because I was unsure about Philly this week, this past week, and so did not have that. I guess I should also say that I need to refresh my screen from after fooling around with some stuff. I finished on 82 points this week. So I totally agree with what Christian said about where you were looking for probably the mid to upper 80s, I would say, if not the low 90s, to see some good points, because even with an 82, I fell in the ranks a bit. So tough competition right there indeed. Just a mix of who did and didn't hit. Had McCarthy, very glad to see that. Just the captain didn't fall out for me, giving it to Pooch. Did have Wagner coming off the bench though with his 10 points, so that was nice to see, and had Lennon on there, so just a mixed bag. But continuing forward with some players before I get too off track, Mukhtar Ngold also came through with some performances. First decent performance we've seen from Mukhtar for a little while, so nice to take note of that. And a strong performance from Gall as well, who had been generating some bonus points, but nothing really offensively had been falling for him. So it's nice to see that result for Gall, and hoping that maybe that spurs some things to come. Just, you guys covered a lot of the other basic takeaways. I will say I was very disappointed in the performance from FC Cincinnati. I just have to say that they got that mercy goal there at the end. But I will say it in my colors right here that I would have totally said that, yes, it went the way it should have based on the chances and some of the generation if it had held 0-1. But I'll take the point and go, but very disappointed in that result. The only main thing I want to point out is, as Ashley said, the first qualifier for the Champions League is over. And so this round seven, is the beginning of the second qualifying quarter for the Fantasy Champions League. That is round seven through round 12. So be keeping an eye on your scores. Top 50 teams this round will be added into the Fantasy Champions League. You are already automatically, all of us, are already added into a league that tracks all of that. Unless you were one of the top 50 who made it already, then you will not be in that round. So, yep, Fantasy Champions League coming right up. Looking at the scores in chat, some fantastic scores here. Multiple triple-digit scores I'm seeing. Right there, some high 90s as well. These are fantastic scores. So happy to see that. Saw a lot of great scores shared with me on Twitter today as well. And a member of the fantasy community did come in with the highest score of the round as well, with 122. So if you were close to 122, then you did very, very well. If you were not quite that close, then you also did well. This was a massive round, but Fantasy Soccer Data, congrats for that great score and representing the fantasy stats community right there. So already teased about the second qualifier Champions League, but there are more housekeeping items that you will need to know before we get into round seven, and we'll be talking about that coming up right after this. Hello and welcome back to our housekeeping section going into round seven. Starting out with a quick update of our leagues, since we haven't done that for a little bit. Still, a lot of teams are tied, but Champions League, we have two teams tied at 6-0-0. Veterans League, three teams tied at 5-0-1. Homegrown League has two teams tied at 6-0-0, which are me and Ashley? Wait a minute, that's not how this is supposed to work. We'll see how that lasts. Discovery League.
We can't count.
No, we don't. We don't count at all. Yeah, just so you know, we don't count for the promotion and relegation, so it will definitely go to other people if something like that stays. Going down to the Discovery League, AC Pico is leading that with the only 6-0-0 team there in the Discovery League. So well played, AC Pico. Moving on to our MLS Fantasy Boss Network of Leagues. Those other ones were the Pro Rel League system. The Discord head-to-head, there are 13 teams tied at 6-0-0, but we will give a shout-out to our special guest tonight as Christian is leading those 13 teams by points. We will go down to our Patreon head-to-head league. This is the exclusive head-to-head league reserved only for the MLS Fantasy Insider patrons. And we have Garth Butchers, who is leading the only 6-0-0 team left in that head-to-head. And then heading over to the MLS Fantasy Insider Experts Invitational, we have four teams tied at 5-0-1. I am not surprised at all that in that league, we do not have an undefeated team still left. And it is Christian who is leading that one as well by points. So doing very well. I need to go and get like a trophy or something to print to just like hang up in the background and cataloging all of the teams. So definitely some strong league performances right now. So congrats to everyone who's doing so well. And as these tied teams start to whittle down, we'll start calling out your names very shortly. Moving on to the important information you need to know for round seven. The round starts on Saturday, April 6th. Yes, this is no joke. Still not I know it's April 1st, but no jokes in this podcast. Maybe we should have opened with something, a joke with that earlier on to be funnier, but nope. Everything starts on Saturday, April 6th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as Ashley put in the notes here, there are tons of teams. So this round is a little bit different than our maybe more usual Apple TV start times. It has a bit more staggering with at least one early game. We have several teams who are playing at 7:30, several who are playing at 7:30, and a few who are playing at 10:30. And then one team that is SKC versus Portland coming in on Sunday. So this is going to be a rough round if you are trying to do any kind of switcheroos. Your timing is going to be very tight. You may even only get one half of a game if you're before you have to make a decision on who you're going to perform. So this may be an auto-roo kind of round if you're looking for that. I had a question that came through on Discord or Twitter. Forget asking about the roos again. We have the video over at MLS Fantasy Bosses YouTube account if you want to go check that out. But again, essentially with this round as an example, if you put a scrub player in your bench, on your field, you'll be able to preview a player who plays on Saturday to see what their score is. If you like their score, you can let them auto in. If you don't like their score, then you can bring in someone from SKC versus Portland. That's sort of the very quick and easy explanation of how the switcheroo works. It lets you preview points before deciding if you want to switch a player into your field to prevent the forced transfer of that. So check out the video that we have that references round one of this season. It's a good breakdown. And don't forget, you can always hit me up on Twitter if you have more questions about the switcheroo. No teams on a double this week, but we do have one team on a bye, which is Orlando, which have some easy options for your switcheroos or autoroos if you're going to be doing something like that this round. But before we get into the injuries and cards, please do note that CONCACAF Nations League games are on us again this week, playing tomorrow, April 2nd, as of the recording of this podcast. Columbus is playing Tigres at home. All the MLS teams are at home. So Columbus versus Tigres, New England versus Club America, and then Miami versus Monterey. All of those teams are playing. The first two, Columbus and New England, are playing on April 2nd, and then Miami is playing on April 3rd. All of those teams will be playing again on Saturday, and then again, I believe, Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. So some quick turnarounds for all these teams. We are expecting rotations. The nice thing is that for many of these, we'll be able to see those lineups at 7:30 when they drop. So this is also going to be a round where you will want to have some contingency plans if some of the players you may be looking for don't start, or if you decide you want to pivot into a player if they are starting unexpectedly. But do be mindful of minutes may and likely will be managed this round as we get so close to the end of CONCACAF Nations League.
And we should point out that all three of those MLS teams are playing domestically for this first leg. They won't travel until next week. So kind of keeping an eye on who plays what during the week could be a good indicator as you finalize your team towards the end of the week, you know?
100%. All right, but now let's start talking about injuries and suspensions. We have the regular refs back now, but that did not keep the cards in the pockets for this week. So, Christian, let us know what to expect from the Mega Reference.
Well, following on the cards and suspensions, excuse me, David Martinez from LAFC out with a red card. Preston Judd, San Jose, and Jackson Yule from San Jose. Both got a red card. They played with nine. Thanks, refs. Anyway, Carlos Turan got from Chicago, got a red card against Atlanta. Tyler says that there are four players on yellow card watch / warning. This is not really that big of a deal because he hasn't listed them, but that's not a big deal because this is not a double game week. So you're not really risking much. Just know that if one of these four players, who shall not be named yet, get a yellow card, they will not be eligible to play their next MLS League match. Injuries. Lorenzo Insigne got an update from Toronto. He will be out for 6 weeks.
That's huge.
I'm not quite sure what the nature of the injury is. I think it's, I can't remember what it was. But yeah, he's out 6 weeks. Martin Caceres from LA Galaxy has some tightness. Hamstring for Insigne. And I don't know what tightness Martin Caceres has, but it's tight and he's out. Andre Blake from Philadelphia is in concussion protocol, I believe. He came out of the game against Minnesota because, Minnesota's bad like that and they knocked his butt out. And so anyway, he's in concussion protocol apparently. Some side info, Cucho Hernandez, Cucho from Columbus. He broke a team rule. He was arguing with an assistant coach and he was left off the roster this week. I don't know how long that suspension is going to
They gotta
last.
be idiots to make it last any longer. I mean,
I know, but Wilfred Nancy, you don't really want to
yeah,
mess with the
sure.
dude. And this for the special interest segment of this injury report, Kai Kamara has joined LAFC, and this is his
Yeah.
11th MLS team. It's got to be a record. It has to be a record.
It is, I thought. Yep.
Okay. All right. And he got a sub appearance. He came on.
Should have.
He literally joined the team like within hours. He is making a sub appearance.
Yeah.
That's crazy. The guy must be bionic or something.
Was
Or
not
is
the
he
player
like,
I expected to see after all that Giroud talk.
no,
Yeah, no
calm
kidding.
down.
Well,
Give Giroud some time.
Giroud's not going to be here apparently until after League's Cup, which is a
Yeah.
very long time.
Like I said to you and Blaine Reid, this is not a like for like news break.
Okay, that wraps it up. That's all I gotta say.
Excellent. Anything else you want to add, Ashley?
No, not that I mean.
No.
The Stoners had some players return, but don't pick them up because they're all garbage.
Well, there you go. For anyone who's listening, if you want to keep up to date on who has cards, who's on warnings, who's been called up, or any of this important information that can be so hard to find at times, head on over to the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord community. Go down to our fantasy resources and tools section, and it's right there, pinned in the comments, as well as other helpful documents. And it is a community maintained resource and is super helpful. So the Mega Reference is definitely one of the number one places for you to check. In addition to injuries and suspensions like this, we also have players who are guaranteed not to come into the game because they've been removed. We have set piece takers. We have, and I think newly we added information about buys and DGWs as well. Christian, is that right?
Our good friend Samurai Panda FC Isaac, he has added a couple of tabs to the Mega Reference,
Yeah.
and one of them's buys, one of them's
Doubles.
what double game weeks.
It's all good. Yeah, so
You just
super
said
help.
that. You
I
just
did.
said that,
I did.
and I
You
was
spaced
busy.
out. It's
See,
okay.
I was
It's okay.
no, I'm looking at data.
It's okay. It's okay. That's what you're here
Wow.
for. But if
That's
you want to
what.
know the names, head over to the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord server. The easiest way to do that is to go to MLSFantasyBoss.com/Discord. It's fun, it's free, and it's just the best MLS fantasy community on the web. But coming up next is what I know many of you all have come for. We're going to be talking about the players who we are targeting going into round seven right after this. Welcome back for our final segment as we talk about players who we are targeting going into round seven. So starting as always with keepers and defenders. Christian, who are you looking at?
Right now, I have Yohei Takahoka on my bench, and Stefan Fry is a fallback. And I'm going to get all kinds of crap for that. I know.
Yep.
Ashley's going to just
Oh,
nail me
I
up, down,
could
and
make a
sideways.
noise with an eye roll. I would. You're gonna get
Well,
for both
yeah.
of
I mean,
us.
I felt it through the Zoom. I felt it. All right. So then you're going to actually get extra triggered because I also have Ryan Raposo on my bench. And Nuhu, and I do have Alex Rodan and Tim Liebold. Those are my defenders. So basically, what I'm doing is something that I haven't done yet this year, which is stacking, which, it just makes sense this week because, there's only like three teams that I think is probably going to get a clean sheet. A couple of other options, however, you could go with, at least in goal, you could go with Berkey and Melia. Both those guys probably have a decent shot.
Read ahead. Don't
Yeah.
steal my stuff.
What?
I said,
Oh, I'm
read
sorry. I didn't
ahead.
read
Don't
it.
steal my
My
stuff.
bad. My bad. So yeah, should I just stop talking? I can
No,
stop
I'm just
talking.
kidding.
No, really, I can stop talking because,
No, don't stop
like, that's all I
talking.
really have to say.
Okay, you're like, no, actually, sorry. I'm just heckling you because you can't have two keeper and two. You can't have four keeper picks. You gotta have two. Maybe
Yeah,
three.
but how many times have you nerfed me by going ahead of me
This
and
whole
then saying,
show could be called
oh,
the
and
Nerf MLS
you could
show.
also pick these seven other players,
I've got like
and
nine
they're
defenders
my
to talk about,
players.
so it's okay.
Yeah, I agreed. Yeah, so spoiler alert, I am going Berkey to Melia for so many reasons. I just won't hear the Stefan Fry, you guys. If you have watched the Sounders play, there's been one shutout in all of their games so far. Their defense is inconsistent. Their goalkeeper is only two games in and is talking bad about the back line post game. I am not trusting this defense. Now, Seattle at home to Montreal. Yes, on paper should work. I'm thrilled to be wrong. I think I said this, with one of the Sounders games earlier this year too. I'm thrilled to be wrong, but I cannot sit here honestly and suggest it. The only thing I could kind of hear is Alex Roldan playing out of position. I'll have that conversation as he was in a more attacking role last week and most likely will stay there because of injury. But we'll see. I'm not loving the Vancouver-ness. I hear it. I also Raposo out of position. I love me a wing back out of position. So that one I'm a little more on board with. I mean, Toronto has just become a team that I'm not betting against this year, and Vancouver is just a little unproven from a fantasy perspective for me so far. But I think that those are definitely some good options. Like I said, out of position to me will kind of trump what the matchup is or things like that. So, I just haven't leaned that way. I do, like I said, I do like Alex Roldan out of position. Maybe he's the first one I'll talk myself out of. I actually do. I feel like kind of a homer, even though it's not my thing. I do kind of like Brooks Lennon this week, and he is expensive, and he is on the road, and it's NYCFC. NYCFC does not impress me. Atlanta has everyone with them. It's a small field. I know they're not used to it. I like him up the wing against that NYCFC defense. Now, if I wasn't a money bags, would I have him? No. I think that picking him this week might just be a luxury for people that have too much money. I don't think he's a good pick if you don't, because like I said, I really agreed with Christian at the top of the show about there's really no purpose to spend all this extra money on defenders just because they're so expensive and we're not quite over that total value hump yet. I know they have Champions League and this is lineup dependent, but I do like the matchup for Columbus this week. I am looking at their defenders while keeping an eye on the midweek games because I think that will come into play as a possible late scrub. And also, he's just been doing quite well. Jake Davis for Sporting Kansas City currently sits on my team. And then I am kind of combing through that St. Louis defense to double up with Berkey if Berkey decides to hit. So that's where I'm at the moment. To me, defense wasn't like super black and white this week, I guess I should say.
I have two things to say before Reed starts
Hit
in.
me.
Jovalich.
I know. I'm not, listen. You can't keep bringing it up.
Okay. And the second thing is, have you ever seen Atlanta play away?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear it. I hear, like I said, he's on my bench right now, but I don't, I like his form. I like their form. I don't know. It's a weird gut pick. I'm not in any way
Okay.
contradicting the stats. You know, his road game, the best production he's had on the road this year was a 5 with no goal contributions. All of Brooks Lennon's goal contributions and shutouts have come at home, which is a real
Right.
data reason to not like him. I just kind of like him this week. And like I said, if I didn't have the money that I do, I wouldn't like him.
That's a great comment. I mean, Lynn is definitely a guy who I considered looking at just with some of his production potential. But yeah, that New York City field is always something to consider as a hazard. I'm looking at Melia and Fry right now, not because I like it. I was just kind of looking at some of the timing. Melia is convenient for any kind of potential keeperoo that you want to utilize. I am very unsure about their chances with Portland, mostly because I'm afraid of Evander with Portland, who's been doing well. So if I end up getting cold feet about, or if I end up getting more bolstered about Evander, then that would really make me want to pivot away from Sporting Kansas City as that option. I like the comment mentioned in chat about Freese, though. He's not kept a clean sheet, but the few games that I've watched, he's solid. I mean, he's a good keeper, and I am worried though about full strength Atlanta. That is the only concern that I have. Otherwise, I am intrigued by that Freese move. I could see him maybe moving in there as a part of a keeperoo. And the Fry pick is mostly because of Montreal. Berkey, though, an excellent option, though Dallas equally suffering as well. So I think that could be it. I've seen some people, I mean, Christian, what do you think about Minnesota? I've seen some people who have thrown them in some of their early drafts.
Risky.
Risky. There we go. We'll leave it at that bench play at the best. I thought it was a bit too expensive as well for some of the things that
Oh
you
yeah.
want to go
Well,
with.
Tapias probably isn't back. So Tapias is our best center back.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, Pettelford really brought it. I mean, yeah, we lost by 2 goals in Philadelphia, but
That's it.
Pettelford, I mean, he looked good at center back.
That's
So
and that's
who
we'll
knows?
see. We'll see what bonus points end up looking like. Moving on to defenders, though, I still am preferring more of center backs over the wing backs, just because of it being harder to generate some of those bonus points, and at least defenders getting into the mix, sometimes being the targets of set piece plays. I think I'm just been looking at the center backs as a bit better option. Though if the wing backs are cheaper and you just want to buy into the defense, 100% look to them if that's all you're concerned about, which is viable. As I mentioned, Lennon definitely one to look at. I think depending on rotations, Gressel's another one you could look at. Probably not perform quite as well, but maybe that's a like for like swap you could do if you're trying to keep an eye on those guys. Roldan, because of what you said, actually is the easy consideration there. Same thing for Raposo, though. I am very wary at all times of hoping for a Vancouver clean sheet. It's just burned me too many times. I've not seen it really have great chances this year as well. So I am very rarely going to look for Vancouver as even an option for my keeperoo off the bench. And so that's what makes me be shy of Takaoka for that, or even Veselinovic, with some of the great production that he's had. But Raposo being out of position is definitely one to go. I've seen people talk about Cincinnati. I've seen Yedlin on there. He did great in the last round, put up a lot of key
Vacuum.
passes, which is,
Oh.
yeah, I know some great times. Miazga an option, Robinson an option. I mean, all those guys right there. I have just, like I said, I was very disappointed by Cincinnati. They were very fortunate to not give up a field goal, and they had that PK, justified PK as well. So I do worry about them against the Red Bulls coming in. That's a game that has some history to it as well. And with some of the form Morgan's been on as well, I am not necessarily confident in a clean sheet for Cincinnati at home. But I mean, definitely people to consider. You could put them on your bench, and then those would be some options I'd be looking at. I have a Colorado defender on my bench right now, just because I want to see how Miami lines up. Now, rotated Miami still could be too much for Colorado, but they're coming off of this nice win. They're going to be playing someplace warmer, not quite as high up in the air. Maybe that
lower altitude.
That's right. We'll see how that does for them. But it's a cheap option as well if you're wanting to stretch your budget some. But tentatively right now, I have a Colorado defender on the bench just to see how I like that, see how the lineups come up. If you're looking at matching up, bad. Well, I said it's what I've got right now on the bench. I'm more interested in Colorado midfielders as potential switcheroos, but I have it on the bench to see how I like it. As I said, they're cheaper. I have a measly 124 million, so I do have to shave some money here or there. And so I'm looking at some defense as
I would loan it. We talked about this every year. I would loan it if I could.
Yeah, I know. Thanks. Appreciate that. If you're looking for pairing up, I like Davis from Sporting Kansas City if you want to do that. If you're going to go with Berkey, I think Parker is a great option to pair up right there. And then we already mentioned Roldan for Cincinnati. If you do go with Taka Oka, I think, I'd go with Raposo to pair up there. I'm a big fan of liking to pair up my keepers with my defenders, but this seems like another round where just getting budget defenders is going to be your best bet.
Do we know why Raposo only played 9 minutes last round, though?
I do not. For sure. But if he's not going to look at the lineup and see who's there, like I said, I don't trust Vancouver, so not in
it
my
was
team
Vanny,
right now.
It was Vanni Sartini's first game back.
So he just didn't make the lineup, you think?
Probably.
Yeah. We'll
it's Vanni Sartini. He's
right.
He's
an
enigma
just,
wrapped in a riddle, you know, the saying.
Sure, I understand. I knew he'd been playing out of position, but when I just looked it up while you were talking, it said he didn't, you know, put in full minutes last week. So
as Tyler said, he's been rotating all year. So it's one to keep an eye on with the lineups, as always. But again, he's a name out there.
I literally just threw him on my bench because he played for Vancouver.
We've talked about him on the show before, Reed and I have.
Mm-hmm. Because he's out of position usually.
Exactly. Yeah. So
OOP defenders are the way to go. People who are offense playing OOP on defense, no, avoid it at all costs.
Yeah.
But as I did mention, I'm a bit more excited about midfielders this week. I think there are a lot of midfield options. So let's move on to midfielders and Ashley kick us off.
Yeah. There's a lot of overlap here, so I won't touch too much on so that you both can elaborate where you want to as well. But for me, I plugged Lucho in, although I very Lucho and Pooch, although I agree with Christian that they're currently underperforming. There's something either off about them or off about the new point structure where I don't see them hitting the last couple rounds as much as you'd think without goals. But still, they've made it into my lineup this week. Pooch is probably, you could talk me into paying so, but Pooch is probably the only Galaxy, no, because I want Jovalich, never mind. I was going to say, I'm not super high on the Galaxy in El Tráfico because of the stats that back them at LAFC, but I'm also not crazy impressed with LAFC this season as a team, so I'm not going to cycle those two players out of my lineup just yet. But I would understand, how do I say it? Like, I would understand a Galaxy fade, but I think that LAFC, El Tráfico is a weird one, but LAFC look more vulnerable to me this so far this year. But like I said, El Tráfico is weird, and so it's really hard to predict. So I just want offensive players from both sides because that game, you know, tends to have goals in it. But on the same, you know, train of thought, I did throw Atuesta into my team this week. He's probably going to be a bench player for me just because I don't fully trust it yet. But I did, you know, he's done really well. I really liked him. Another defender I'm considering more so because of the late matchup, but also for the continued points is Evander. Like, you know, I can't talk enough about how I don't like him, but here we are. And then I'm going back and forth between, and Christian won't like either of these, and I know that. I'm going back and forth between Hany Mukhtar and Ryan Gold. And they're two home midfielders. I had a weird feeling about Mukhtar last week. I almost swapped Lucho out for him and thought, what are you thinking? And didn't. And Hany finally got back on the score sheet. Surge is starting. Nashville were scoring. I don't know. He hasn't hit his stride again yet. I try not to jump onto these things too early because it's really frustrating when you spend a lot of money on a midfielder and they miss, right? But I don't know. I just had a weird kind of gut towards Mukhtar last week. It's nice to see him get the goal. And then, yeah, Gald looked like, the Ryan Gald we know and talk about. And so those two are kind of competing for my last spot. I'm not quite sure where we'll land. And then I'm just before, and again, Christian, you yell at me if I'm speaking too out of turn here, but I wanted to touch on, I saw Rusnak mentioned a decent amount both in Discord today. I don't see his name in chat, so that's great. But he's cheap, which is great. He is playing at a 10, which should be good. He picked up some bonus points in his first full 90. I think he had 5 total. I think he had 3 bonus points. But I'm just, as bad as Montreal is, the Sounders are almost as bad. And so when it comes to home matchups, I don't love him this week unless it's just for price, because I think he's only 6.8 million. Like everyone that plays for the Sounders is very cheap right now. And so it's a home matchup against a crappy team. So that logic definitely comes into mind for me. But Rusnak is a later game. That's also a scrub out option if you need. But I think that I wouldn't be tempted by a player of old against a bad team. If you can avoid it, if you need it for the, scrub spot or the money, sure. But Rusnak is not my favorite this week.
Christian.
How can I say this without sounding like a dork?
Do it.
Don't.
The dork safe space. We love
Yeah, it's a
dork.
good point. Don't. All right. So anyway, I've really, you say things like, Christian's gonna yell at me, but I have to
Thank
say
you.
that I had Gald on my team for like
Oh,
three or
good.
four drafts.
I was
So
wrong.
yeah, no, I mean, like, you
Okay,
have good ideas. I mean,
thanks,
I'll let you know. I will. I'll
Rusnak.
let you know if I think they suck, but usually they don't. So but yeah, Gald is fine with me. I've got him as a very viable bench play along with Jordy, Mihailovic,
Yeah.
Driussi, and Tillman. They're all very good bench options. The problem, like Reed alluded to earlier, basically didn't allude to, he said, was that the fixtures are all piled on top of each other. So it's very like all the players I want are playing at the same time. So this is the reason why you see a lot of Rusnak out there. That's the only reason you see him, because it's him or Evander,
Yep.
basically, isn't it? Or Tommy. And
Yeah.
none of those guys, except for maybe Evander, who's playing away,
Yep. And Rusnak's cheap.
worth
Like I
it.
said, I hear that. He's cheap.
Well, yeah, and it opens up. And if you're going to just scrub him anyway, he's a fallback player. It's the definition of a fallback player, a cheap, decent player who's going to start. And this guy happens to play at the 10 position for you think he sucks because you've got Homer bias. But, he had a pretty decent game. So
He should take some free kicks. He should take some corners. Like, there's that going for
yeah, he's
sure.
got his onset pieces. Yeah. So, with that said, I have what everybody else has. I have Lucho. Now there is a reason to fade Lucho this week, and it's more of a historic reason, which is that New York Red Bulls are really, or have been up to this season, very good at shutting down playmakers. Now I don't know why. The stats don't back that this season, because we still have Yearwood back there, don't we? We still have, the same personnel essentially on Red Bull's team. So, and the same coach from last year, right? I mean, he didn't get a new coach. So, like it's kind of a puzzler to me why they're not shutting down playmakers this year. Anyway, I have some theories about that. Hit me up on Discord if you want to hear them. But anyway, Lucho, whether he's fadeable or not, he's almost a bench play for me, to be honest.
On my bench.
But I do have him starting because the formation and everybody playing at the same time. Like, dude, you better just start him if you're going to pay 11.9. That's how I feel about it. And I say that knowing I have Suarez on my bench at 11.2. Duh. Anyway, Painsil is on my team, and I am all in on El Tráfico. Like, I have. Look, if it makes you feel better about like my intentions with defenders, I had Hollingshead on my bench until the start of this show.
Okay.
Like,
You are
because
all
Hollingshead gets forward, he
big time.
likes to shoot. He, you know, and this is El Tráfico, and he loves El Tráfico. So Hollingshead's a very decent play. Anyway, I don't have six El Tráfico players, and that's the only reason I don't have six. It's because I think Hollingshead has gotten like five twos in a row. Like he hasn't done anything except concede. So, you know, maybe this is his gold week. Who knows? But he might end up back on my bench, just because I want absolute full coverage in that match. I have Paitsel, Pooge, I have Atuesta, I have forwards to be named in a minute. But I also have Evander as a fallback. And the other thing I'll say about a fallback is if, you know, like you want to take a fallback who actually has a chance at doing well. So Evander, you know, he looks like he's home and away proof so far this year to some extent. I mean, like, he's one of the most viable away players in the game, in my opinion. So that's why he's my fallback, and I'm willing to pay 10 million for him. Which I never thought I would say, by the way, about Evander.
Me neither.
Willing to pay up for Evander. Like that was never coming out of my mouth for two seasons. So anyway.
He's been doing really well with this new system. Thank you. He's been doing really well with this new system. Very similar players that you guys are looking at as well. Pooch, Acosta, Atuesta, definitely guys that I'm looking at. Very good comments about Acosta for what could happen, and that history with Red Bulls and Cincinnati definitely makes those games hot as well. So anything could happen. Some of the other players that I'm looking at, potentially looking at Gault, as I mentioned, he had that good result. If he's going to be more consistent, I have more faith in him than I do in Vancouver's defense. And Vancouver Toronto, always an interesting game, I think, from that battle that happens up north. Another one that I am also looking at, as I mentioned earlier in the show, is I've got Jordy Mihailovic on the bench right now, getting two late goals for Colorado there at the end against LA. Not sure what's going to happen with Miami, see what their rotations may look like. I've got him sitting on the bench. I like him as a rotation more than I like their defense as a rotation. So I'm just looking and see what the budget looks like right now. But I think with that history that we've seen, what Jordy's been able to do in the past, and if he's starting to get some form with a weakened Miami team, that could be a nice little differential right there. But definitely someone who I want to keep my eye on as I'm continuing to evolve my bench. I think there's so many midfield options this week. You guys have already touched on several of them. Evander's got that strong floor, and I just don't know if I want to go with him and completely bust what I'm looking at for my keeperoo, as I mentioned earlier. Is DeRussy a guy that you really want to consider this round going against San Jose? They've not been super consistent on defense with San Jose, so I could see that. But I equally think that Espinoza maybe is someone I would like better than DeRussy, because I'd rather bet against Austin than I would for San Jose, especially with Espy's historical production right there. My only hangup of going double LA Galaxy this week with Paintsil and Pooch is so far they've never gone off together. Now maybe El Tráfico is the way for that to be, but they've just both never hit at the same time, and so I'm not sure if I want to go with both of them this week because of that. But definitely a lot of, I mean, Heck, I mentioned him earlier. Maybe even go with Morgan this round against Cincinnati after seeing some of the dysfunction they've been having there recently. So that could be in a way player that you're looking at. But there's so many options. You guys have covered a lot. So I think there's just a lot of fun you could have with your midfield this week. Looking over to, yeah, I see people mentioning Rusnak as well. That was my worry as well, Ashley. Just the inconsistencies with Seattle. I'd much rather take a fly on some of the bench stuff there
It's a
than
late game. He's cheap. Midfielders are generally underproducing. Totally get it. He's just not like, he's not a choice for me from a production value. But those two things I think are really important this week.
What do y'all think about Almada for this round? On the road, New York? Is
No,
that going to shut him
absolutely
down?
not. Absolutely not. And by the way, I have
they're
to.
at Citi Field.
They're not at
At Yankee
Yankee.
Stadium, but. Also, no, I'm not as adamant as Christian, but I agree.
Atlanta just stink away from Atlanta. They're not good. I mean, later in the season, they'll be better. They'll absolutely be gelled and they'll know each other and they'll be able to play away from home. But no, not in the seventh game of the season.
Strong,
They're hot garbage.
strong opinions right there. Some questions.
I
Go
Sorry,
ahead,
I have
Reese.
to interject.
Yeah, go.
I made yet another. I have to make a press retraction here. Yearwood is not with New York Red Bulls. He is with Nashville. So,
Okay.
they do have a new coach.
Yeah.
So that would explain why they're not good at,
Shutting down tens again.
shutting down playmakers. Okay, go on. Sorry.
I'd also like to touch on something from chat, which is why no Carlos Heel. And I guess for me, there's a couple of reasons. He has not impressed me lately. Like he hasn't looked very Carlos Heel-y. He is playing in Champions League, and Charlotte aren't terrible. I mean, they're not great, but they're not terrible. And so I didn't even consider him. Like, I mean, I saw his name, but that wasn't really a consideration for me, which might be a great time for him to turn it around, but 3 games in 7 days, I don't know if it, with travel on the back end, I don't know.
It's the rotation risk for me, as
Yeah.
that's a big part of it is the rotation risk. And you're right, he started out well, 10-7-9 in the last 2 games, playing 90 minutes, he's put up a 3 and a 2. And so this is Charlotte put up a really good fight against Cincinnati last round. They've got some offensive chops to them, and so with that midweek game, it's a lot of what's New England going to do with the rotation. Now they're a 7:30 team, so it's the same boat as Miami and Columbus as well. You'll get to see that lineup, and if they are running out of full group, maybe you feel good with Heel and you want to run him out against Charlotte. But will he play that full game, knowing that coming up next week is going to be another game on the road this time in Mexico? So that's just the worry, I think, is the reason why a lot of us have been staying away from the CCL teams in general, is because of the rotation worries. But that's again another one. I don't want to sound like a record. I don't want to sound like that's not helpful, but that's really what these players are coming down to, is if you like the guy, we've seen the pedigree of the past. There's some questions of the performance right now with the current form. And with the CCL, it's just going to be a lineup game day decision if you think that fits in best with your team. For me, he's a pass because of those considerations.
Well, and it's the coach too. I mean, some players who are very, very good, they end up getting a new coach and they turn off. And I have a feeling that this is a case
I'd
of,
love to blame Caleb Porter. That would be great.
yeah, I think
He's
Porter's
the
terrible.
worst.
So, well, he's not as bad as Cushing, but he's close.
Okay.
I mean, nobody's as bad as Cushing.
Well, let's not get this is MLS fantasy coaching. This is MLS fantasy soccer. So let's keep talking about our players and move on to forwards for this round. So who are you looking at, Christian?
I am looking at, okay, right now, I think there's going to be a lot of rotation for Miami. And I don't know if Luis Suarez is going to actually play, but I do have him on my bench right now. in case he does. So the 11.2 is blocking off a place on my bench, which means I could pretty much pivot to anybody I want. But I think that he is going to just, like, if he starts and they don't rotate too much, he is going to tear Colorado a new one. Like, this guy is not playing anymore. So, Uwanga, obviously, and Jovalich are the other two because I'm all in. Now, I do want to say one thing about Jovalich. If you're pressed for money, Gabriel Peck is also a forward for LA or LA Galaxy, and he is much cheaper. And he opened his account.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Ashley is familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But why are you familiar? That sounds like a loaded statement.
Because I was saying at the top of the show how I was at Monster Jam yelling at Spencer, Peck or Rodriguez, Peck or Rodriguez. And I went Rodriguez and Spencer went Peck. And
oh,
Peck.
Yeah.
The only goal in the Sounders game last week was Gabriel Peck. So,
yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Woohoo. Go draft team. Over to you.
Yeah.
Ashley, who are you looking at?
Didini Bawango is the first in my team this week. I almost had him in my team last week, honestly, but I just, you know me with my flashy forwards. I love me some Dini. I have Jovalich back in my team, just, you know, on a wish and a prayer and a hope that I didn't break him. So we'll see where that lands. And then I'm very attentive to the Kucho situation because I do like him this week, and I understand that they're CCL. CCC now, but I still kind of like that matchup. I like them at home. He's someone I'm paying attention to, but not someone I currently have in my team. I also like Suarez, dependent on how those lineups play out. I agree with everything that Christian said about him. And then, you know, he didn't do well this past round, but I am paying attention to Klaus. I'm considering... Mm-hmm. him this week. He's had a couple runs of decent games. He wasn't starting, you know, he was playing as a sub for two of the first three games, had a decent bonus point producing game at LA, and then scored a goal in round five. Now, last week at RSL, he just put up a three and he subbed out early-ish. So I'm not really sure, but the way that FC Dallas is playing, like I said, he's someone that I'm considering or paying attention to, but we'll see if he actually makes it in my team.
Do you have any concerns about minutes for Jovalich this week?
What I read, you know, contrary to what people might think, I do not have a direct line into he and his point producing, but what I saw was illness. He'd had illness during the week, and so he wasn't starting. So if that's true, then no. However, he, under Greg Vanney, was a super sub. That's what he's been since he got to that team. So I don't know. Could he go back to that? Maybe. I don't, you know, Peck scored. Peck, you know, so I don't know. But an LA Galaxy striker is on my team. So if
you have I didn't see the game. Did Peck start at the nine?
I believe so. I don't know if you
was
heard.
It, did, was it Barry?
So I didn't see the game either.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. But
Tyler says it was Barry.
Yeah, I'm not picking up Miguel Barry, but I would pick up
Peck. No.
Yeah. So, but yeah,
Peck's a winger, obviously, but I was just wondering if, you know,
Vanny was if for some reason
on drugs or still, something, you know.
If Jove's not starting again, I honestly do think I would pivot to Peck. I think there's some other good striker options this week, but with that 4:30 kickoff, sorry, 4:30 for those of us, with that 7:30 kickoff, I do think that that might just end be what I would auto pivot to. So we'll see how he does this week and what the lineup looks like.
For me, copy and paste Christian. That's what my team looks like right now with Boanga, Jovalik, and Suarez. Please do note, Suarez is 11.2 and Messi is 11.0. So you really can pivot from anyone from Suarez, depending on who you see start in that round, which I think that's the question for a lot of people is this the return of Messi? Does he come for CCL or do they feel like they can handle that and then bring him back for this? So we'll see what happens. I'm not going to place a bet there. And I also agree with your comment as well, Christian, that Benteke only if there's rotation. I think you guys have covered a lot of who we're looking at. And this is not necessarily, I think that El Tráfico is driving a lot of who is going to be at the forward spot and then seeing who the rotations are. It's going to be that's I will very likely not keep my Colorado potential defender, just knowing that Miami's got those options right there. But I want to, we'll see, like I said, looking at the budget, see what's going to happen. I'm poor right now. So compared to you also, we'll see where that ends up.
Nuhu 5'8".
So go with
next, six,
Kamara,
eight.
Right? I'm gonna go with all that
crazy. Hi, Kamara. Please put Peg Kamara.
No way. No. Spot me some points and then we'll go from there. All right, let's wrap everything else up with our captain's picks. Ashley.
Denis Belonga.
Christian.
Ditto.
Do I dare? Do I dare?
Why is this even a dare?
It's not.
He doesn't like to captain forwards.
It's not. It's Belonga.
Yeah. Is it you're doing it?
I am. I'm doing it.
Just check out the stats I just posted earlier.
I know. And it doesn't even matter. I mean, we have to remember this game as well at Trafico to call. It's marginal as far as the home and away team is concerned with this. But on Belonga. No, go for it. Go.
No El Tráfico has featured this many defenders in the history of the fixture.
Yeah.
Like they're both sieves now, like for some reason. Like so it's going to be like 8-8, you know?
I would like to verbalize something that was said in chat. So it's on the pod. Christian had brought up Hollingshead, which is not something I shook my head at in any ways like that. I'll hear that shout, even though there should be goals in this game. And I apologize for not remembering who wrote it, but someone had said that in three El Tráfico appearances, Ryan Hollingshead has scored twice. And that is a fun stat to consider as that game, you know, is coming up at LAFC. So
it's very fun. But we seem to be in the consensus. And yes, of the six rounds that we've had so far, a midfielder has only been your best captain option once. Otherwise, it has been a forward, which is different from previous years and is 100% because of the way the stats and the bonus points are being tracked. So we'll there'll definitely be opportunities, I think, for feedback about that for next year. Good question from chat. If Messi starts, do you change your captain option?
Heck no. Yeah.
I don't.
I do. Ooh.
Christian, why yes? Ashley, why no?
Is he starting and Ashley he didn't first. Play Champions League?
You can frame it as how you would like.
I'll tell you what. I tell you what. The only reason I wouldn't captain Messi if he started is because of that. Like, he's just coming off of an injury. So, I don't know. Like, he's not going to play, first of all. Let's just get that out of our minds. He's not going to play. You know, like, the only way that he's going to play is if, like, they go up, like, 17 goals, you know, this week. Yeah. And then, you know, he says, hey, Tata, just, you know, like, I kind of feel like I want to play. Then he'll play, right? And then he'll come off at like halftime and everybody will get nerfed. And that's what's going to happen. So Messi's probably a trap. You're right. But if Suarez starts, that might change my mind.
You mean if Suarez starts?
Because Suarez doesn't seem to have this thing where he shoots the ball into row double Z like Buanga's had. For like most of the season. So I don't know. I'd have to really think about that one.
I think, listen, we're going to be talking about this for as long as this man's in the league, right? I think we'll even be having conversations where, like, well, if Messi's on the bench, do you bench him? Because he might come. I mean, the things he can produce are wild, and we've already seen some of it, right? So I think if he's starting, there's definitely cause to start him, but I don't know if I'd switch my captain. I get really, and hear me out, I get really in my own head about like a frantic armband swap or like an armband tinker, I guess you could say. And so when I'm going into a week, there has to be a crazy like mismatch of a lineup change or something for me to just pull an armband, because I fall victim. I suffer from what many of others do, which is tinkering. And so if you are equally afflicted, I don't know that I encourage the like, oh, Messi's starting full on armband swap. Because like you said, he is coming off an injury. They do have Champions Cup. So what does the team even look like? He doesn't really need anybody else, but you know, it helps. So I don't know that I'd tinker to him with the armband, but if Suarez is playing starting and Messi is starting, I do think I would pick Messi up. So
Yeah. Just to add, Boanga is leading the league in shots with 34, and he and Suarez are tied for most shots on target at 13. So
oh, well, that kind of makes what I said kind of wrong.
he does shoot first. But we will see what happens as the stats and as the week goes on as we get closer to kickoff time. Let's wrap up everything tonight with our plugs. Christian.
The MLS Fantasy Boss Discord community.
Short and sweet. Ashley.
I want to plug Reed this week because it was really hard to be him last week, and I really appreciate him more when he's gone and then comes back.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I will plug well, thank you, Ashley, for keeping things going last week with the short notice. You guys did a fantastic job, but I will also plug everything that's coming out from the MLS Fantasy Boss Network, the Pro Rel Leagues, the Discord, the website. We've got the Team Ranchinator articles coming out with the differential picks. We have the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord player rankings, which are always fun, which you can participate right now going to the Discord chat. The more people who participate, the quicker more people participate, I should say, the fewer times I ping the server asking you all to participate. So it's fun. Go in there and do it. Scout's Honor, Christian and I do not look at who is voting which way for all of that. We just aggregate the data and put it out there for people to have fun with. So it's just a fun community thing. But check out everything else, patreon.com/MLSFI to learn more about that project. So there's so much out there. It is just such a great community to be a part of and are just happy to be with you all along the way. But round 7 is coming. I hope this helped you prepare. And as always, good luck.